Dag Mills, please.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have. What a blessing it is to be here. What a blessing it is to see you, to enjoy your presence, and to have a taste of what it's going to be like to be with you forever. We are blessed today. Touch our lives. Heal us. Direct us. Deliver us from evil. Thanks for your great power and presence today in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It is a blessing to be here, Pastor Samuel. Thanks for inviting me, having me over to preach in all your different campuses. It's been a great experience. The weather is just perfect, just like Ghana. The traffic is just like Ghana. Everything is just like Ghana. So I'm totally at home. And we're enjoying everything. Amen. And this is a great opportunity. I want to just introduce a few books to you. Anakazo is a Greek word. It means compel. Go out and compel them to come in. Jesus said, go out into the highways and compel them. What a blessing. Backsliding. How many know some people are backsliding in Manila? Wow. Ask your neighbor, are you backsliding? You need to get the book. You need to get that book, Backsliding. All right. Books for pastors, The Art of Shepherding. Your pastor is a wonderful shepherd. I have learned from Pastor Samuel for many years. And as I've been here, seeing him say the same thing to you, each service, he says the same thing, talks to you kindly, loves you, cares for you. You can see the shepherd is looking after the people. And that is a great blessing. And I hope you appreciate him. And I hope on his birthday, you don't just say happy birthday. You do more than that. You must do more than that to appreciate him. Amen. Out of following. Follow his good example, the blood of Jesus. Very, very powerful books about the anointing. Catch the anointing. The sweet influences of the Holy Spirit. Amplify your ministry. Wow. Transform your pastoral ministry. Anyone who is a pastor may be blessed with some of these wonderful books. Now, loyalty. Very important subject for a church. Amen. When your pastor has been so kind to you, look after you for 35 years, right? You need to also see that he's setting an example of loyalty to you. He has been faithful to you. He has not run off with new ideas into new schemes or become a businessman or a business tycoon in the Philippines. He's rather caring for you, building more campuses, more places for us all to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Do you appreciate these wonderful things that are being done for you? Yes. Maybe you don't know there are different kinds of pastors. And if you have sometimes something else, you realize what you have. It's a blessing. Demons and How to Deal with Them is a very powerful book. I preached about that yesterday. Now, so you must be faithful. And so I have some books here on that. Those Who Forget, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Do not forget the prayers that have been prayed for you. You are hearing Proverbs every Sunday. Is it every Sunday you have a proverb, a different one? For the offering. That's a wonderful idea. You are getting a proverb every Sunday to help you to be wise. Don't forget it. So when you get angry and you are leaving the church, try to remember Judas. Judas couldn't remember simple things. All that had been done for him, he couldn't remember. Yeah. He forgot he was chosen. He forgot he was appointed. He forgot the miracles that were done, that he saw, and he turned against his Savior. So those who forget, there are a group of very dangerous people that spoil churches. So I wrote a book specially for them. So if you know anybody in church who forgets, buy this one for him, okay? And those who pretend. Hey! There are people who pretend to love you, but they don't love you. They pretend to be committed members, but they are not. They pretend like Judas. You know, Judas was so good at pretending that no one knew who was going to betray Jesus. People thought it was Peter. Some thought it was Thomas. I mean, no one suspected Judas. He was so good at hiding and staying as a part of the family. And that is the characteristic of a snake. You'll be surprised to find a snake on this compound who has been living here for 12 years. You never know that such a snake can stay here. And he's not a human being, but he's a snake, and he stays here. Hey, watch out for those who pretend. Those who accuse you. You would think that because Pastor Samuel has been faithful for 35 years, everybody here will say good things about him. But you will find people who can open their mouths and be anointed from the devil to accuse. I've not yet seen any good man of God who is not accused about something or about many things. Make sure you are not one of the accusers. Make sure you are one of the intercessors. Intercede rather than accuse. So these people, those who accuse, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. So it's a very dangerous thing to be used by Satan to be talking about God's honorable servants who he is using. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Those who are ignorant. It is ignorance that makes people attack their own fathers. Absalom, the Bible says, how many know Absalom? Absalom is the son of David, who attacked his own father. Is it a good thing to attack your own father? To try to kill your own father? But that is what even some pastors do. The person who appointed them, anointed them, gives them a job, helps them, puts them in a position, does things for them, and they attack that very person. You know? And you see, no one must ever be able to lead you to do something like that. Can I have an amen? Amen? Why do I say that? Because when Absalom did what he did, the Bible says 200 people followed Absalom in the innocence of their minds. They were innocent and naive. They did not know what they were being led into. That is why those who are ignorant, people who don't know, because you wouldn't know what is involved in sacrificing for the Lord, living and doing the will of God for 35 years, right in one place with the same people. Hey! I know pastors who get tired of being pastors. They say, look, I've had enough. I preach to these people. I'm going to do business. And before I realize, he's selling cars. I know a pastor who became a car dealer. Those who are dangerous sons, make sure you are not a dangerous son. And a dangerous son is an Absalom. And can you believe it? I recently met somebody. I asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Absalom. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've met a Thomas, but I've not met an Absalom. And his real name, and he's a pastor. He's Reverend Absalom. I told him, your name is not a good name. And he said, he gave me the meaning of his name. He said it has a good meaning. But I said, no, Absalom has spoiled the meaning of the name, whatever it is. Like Judas. You don't meet people called Judas. Can you imagine somebody says, I'm Judas. I'm the Judas of COP. Hey, everybody will be scared. And then Those Who Leave You, very important book. I wrote it for those who leave churches and attack the church. But you see, you can leave the church because it's not a cult. You can go anytime you want to go. But many of the people who leave don't leave quietly and peacefully. They leave, and the last thing they do before they leave the church is to try to destabilize the church. Watch out for these kind of people. Amen. And finally, loyalty and disloyalty. All these wonderful books available. God will bless you. In this last service, I hear there are young people here. Are you here? Where are the young people? On this side. What about this side? Older people. And here? Are there young people on this side? All here is young people. What about this side? All of you are young. What about this side? What about this side? What about this side? The rest of you are what? Grandfathers and grandmothers. Say, I am young. Everybody here is young. Amen. Don't allow the devil to tell you that you are old. You are not old. You are as young as you are thinking you are. Amen. And there are many things that you can do for the Lord when you have a young heart. Amen. Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. So God uses young people. Amen. I gave my life to Christ when I was 16 years old in school, secondary school. And I've been serving the Lord since then. There are many things by the grace of God I didn't get into because I found the Lord when I was young. And I thank God, even if there is no heaven, it's been worth being a Christian and serving the Lord since I was a teenager. Hallelujah. And I'll encourage you to serve the Lord and do His will. Amen. In this last service, I want to share with you about Jesus and the 10 lepers. I preach a different service, a sermon each time because I can't preach the same thing every time. I would die if I preach. Not I would die, but like I would, it would be too difficult for me. Hey. Jesus and the 10 lepers. Wow. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Wow. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is a half caste, half Jewish, half something else, not accepted. And you see, a lot of Samaritans are used by the Lord. So if you are half and half, like me, that's a great blessing for you today. Amen. God is using Samaritans. I'm a Samaritan because I'm half, half. Amen. Obama is also a Samaritan. He's half and half. Bob Marley was also half, half. A lot of half, half people have been used by the Lord. Well, I don't know if they have been used by the Lord, but they are doing something. And he fell down on his feet, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Wow. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Amen. This story of all the miracles of Jesus teach us things that are very, very important for our lives. One of them is this story about 10 lepers who were standing far away. They were standing far away because many diseases are contagious and infectious. When you come near, you can get the disease. All right? And so they were standing far away. All right? And Jesus saw these men and was able to heal 10 lepers at the same time. Wow. Today I want you to know there is power here. Amen. To heal 10 incurable diseases at the same time. How many are expecting God to do many things in your life? So 10 lepers were healed. 10 of them. God can open the eyes of 10 blind men. God can take 10 people out of a wheelchair. God can do 10 miracles of 10 fantastic miracles. He doesn't have to do only one. This was a series of lepers, 10 of them together. And the power of Jesus is very great to do wonderful things and to do far beyond what you can imagine. And sometimes when it happens to one person, you think to yourself, oh, it won't happen to me because it happened to this person. But in this case, 10 people, 10 lepers. This one was a leper. This was a leper. He was healed. This was a leper. He was healed. This was a leper. He was healed. And this is big power. Big, big power that was released that day. And 10 of the same kind of the highest type of disease were healed at the same time on the same day in the same church service by the same power of the same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Today I want you to expect great things from God. Expect big things. Expect if somebody is getting healed on your side, it's a good time for you to get healed as well. If somebody else is getting healed, you can also receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Now, leprosy was the incurable disease of those days. Listen, human beings always have battled with one or two incurable diseases in their era. You know what? Like sometimes we say there is danger today, but there's always been danger. When you say there's incurable diseases, there have always been something that mankind cannot cure. Always. In Europe in the 14th century, there was the plague. The plague. Do you know that it wiped out one quarter to one third of Europe were killed by this plague? And that plague could have been cured with just penicillin, ampicillin, augmentin. I don't know what you have here. What do you have? Augmentin? Do you use augmentin here? Just augmentin would have cured it. But it was so powerful and there was no known cure. And people migrated and ran all over the place just to escape this deadly disease. John Calvin, who went to Geneva, was actually escaping from France because he was actually not from Switzerland. He was actually a Frenchman, but running away from the plague, and he ended up in Switzerland. You know, so there have always been something because it is a spirit, and science cannot come up with something to remove an evil spirit, because the evil spirit have a reason to be here. So there's always going to, so when this one is cured, you see something else comes up. That's how it is. Like HIV. Do you have HIV? Do you know HIV? When I say HIV, you understand HIV. HIV was not there before. We had gonorrhea. Then after gonorrhea, we had herpes virus, herpes simplex. We had people were having all kinds of things. It's like then you can't cure it. And gonorrhea at a point was not curable. Oh, so many people had gonorrhea. they'll go for injections upon injections upon injections, you know, and sometimes it became resistant. But when that seemed to be conquered, then a new one came up, HIV. Hey! And HIV had no cure. Up till today, it has no cure. But now, through science, they managed to, like, find a way to keep HIV people under control. They have a drug which makes the transmission of the disease less. You know, the viral load is less, and then also a drug which keeps you alive. So it's not really cured. It's become like one of the many diseases which we still have, and we manage, and we just live and limp along, like hypertension, diabetes, asthma, epilepsy, all these diseases. It's like you have a drug you take and just manage it along. But then suddenly comes Ebola virus, which now starts to sweep across. And then it's like the demons find another bacteria or virus to work through. Then you have cancer, which comes into the more developed world. Which you go to America, that there's no cure. They're fighting it, but they cannot put their finger on it to find something to stop it. And all through the history of mankind, there are always things which show human beings that there is the power of man and science, but it takes at a point the power of God to keep you alive and to help you. Hallelujah. And that is why you find that even today, in the year 2015, we still need God. You see, when you read the Bible, you would have thought that a book that is 2,000 years old is not relevant today. I mean, you could easily say, oh, this book is too old. Because even pastors who have written books like Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, and such famous people, you don't find their books around so much. It's just been 10 years, 20 years, their books have sort of faded away. You would have thought that the Bible would be fading away by now. But you can see when we gather that the Bible is still very relevant, because the 10 lepers, you can find 10 people with cancer in this room right now. You can find 10 people with incurable diseases who nothing can cure them except the power of God. Yes. And you find that we will need to come to God. We will always need the power of God and the presence of God. So those of us who want to throw away God, want to say, God, I don't need you. God, go out of my life. Oh, I have medicine. I have Panadol. I have antibacterial. I have, what do you call it? Antibiotics. I have this. I have that. I don't need God. It's not true. You will need God. You will need God. God is needed. You can never do without God. You can never stay and live on this earth without God. One time I was watching CNN. A great man of God came on. He was being criticized about his life, this and that and so, but he was into healing. And suddenly, they decided to open the phone lines. And I thought, now the criticism is going to really go higher. So they said, anybody who wants to call him should call him. Anybody, call him. The first call came from United Arab Emirates. Person said, I have cancer of so and so. Can you please pray for me? I was surprised. I thought we were going to ask him about his car, his money, his ring, his whatever. Please pray for me. I'm dying of this. Then he prayed. Next call came from Syria. What's the next country to say? Jordan. I'm dying. Pray for me. The next call from America. I'm dying. Pray for me. Another call. Everybody who called was somebody who was dying and sick and needed mercy and prayer. No matter how developed you are and who you think you are, I'm telling you, God is on his throne. You will always need God. God rules in the affairs of men. You will always have to bow your knees and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I need you. Just as those 10 lepers did in those days, you will need Jesus today. You can't say you can never grow or mature out of Jesus. No, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like maturing, developing out of the need of God. 10 lepers. Yes, today we have drugs that treat leprosy. Once you treat it, another thing comes up. And another, and another. That is why healing is important. Today a lot of people don't pray for the sick. A lot of pastors don't pray. They don't even believe in miracles. I would say that, you know, since I've been here, I would say that I want to thank Pastor Samuel, all of you, your daughter on the other side. You know, because as I'm praying for the sick, I rather feel the pastors want miracles to happen. In some places when you go, you get the feeling that they are watching to see if there will be a miracle. Like they're just watching to see, oh, we want to see if there will be a miracle. Wow, we are here to see whether there is anything, there is any power, or there is any miracle. And so many people don't believe in miracles anymore. So I see them sitting behind me when I'm preaching on the crusade. You see the pastors there, as if they wish there will be no miracle. And what you don't know is that, look, you will need a miracle. Catherine Kuhlman used to say, if you are part of this human race, a day will come you will need a miracle. That's what she said all the time. She said, if you are part of humanity, a time will come you will need a miracle. If you are living here in this world, a day will come, a time will come, you will see, I need God. I need the power of God. 10 lepers, they stood afar off. Why? They were on admission. Just like today, they stood afar off in the hospital. They are on admission in the hospital. Far off. They're secluded in a ward. They are in a theater, separated, waiting to die, separated, struggling with sickness, with curses. Just like today, people are separated into hospitals. People are confined. People are put in isolation. It's the same thing. These 10 lepers were all alone. But they saw Jesus passing by. And they cried, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Amen. Everybody say mercy. You know something, let me tell you. If you want to pray for healing, the best prayer is to pray for mercy. Do you know why? Because sickness is caused by sin. That's why when Jesus would see certain people, like the paralytic, he immediately said to him, your sins are forgiven. People didn't understand. Why do you say my sins are forgiven? Because the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. Which means that the wages of sin is to open the door to the agents of death. Anything that kills is welcome into your life by your sins. Because the payment for your sin is death. So you need now something that will bring the death. You need something. And what are the things that bring death? Accidents. Sin leads to accidents. Your chances of dying in a car accident is 1 in 85, according to the 1 out of 85. Your chances of dying of cancer is 1 out of 9, according to the statistics. Your chances of dying in an aeroplane crash is 1 out of 5,085. Apparently, you are safer in a plane than in a car. So everybody should get a plane. Yeah. So when you sin, Bible says, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. So sin opens the door for many things in our lives. Sin is like a magnet. When you sin, when you tell a lie, how many have told a lie before? In this side only. Only 6 people have told lies here. Come on, give me a wave if you've told a lie before. A sin is like a magnet. It draws the agents of death. Yes. So every time you tell a lie, one little magnet comes. Yeah. Sticks on us. And then it's drawing the agents of death. That's why you must confess your sins every day. Hey, I'm always confessing my sins. How many have been confessing your sins? Confess your sin every day, because 24 hours, I tell you, within 24 hours, you have done so many bad things. Bad thoughts, bad behavior, wrong deeds. We must always be confessing our sins. How many have stolen before? On this side. Thieves. How many thieves do we have here? When you steal, it's another bigger magnet drawing something. Yes. Drawing death and the age. Because the wages, the payment for your sin is death. So it means something must bring about the death. Because something always brings about death. So when Jesus would see people who are sick, you know, the people themselves would cry, "Lord, have mercy," which is because there may be a reason why what is happening is happening. And that is why the best prayer, which God cannot use a legal reason to refuse you, is to pray for mercy. Because when you pray for mercy, you are not saying you are right. You are saying, "Lord, I'm wrong. Have mercy on me." Blind Bartimaeus, when he saw Jesus was passing, he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy, 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 healing, mercy. Healing and mercy go together. Amen. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sins. Or he came to save us from our magnets. Hey! Your sin, which will kill you physically, will also kill you spiritually and take you to eternal death. That is why, look, listen, I tell you, it's a very sad thing that today pastors are preaching Jesus came to save you from poverty. I don't know where you find that in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have a $40 million house and 10 cars. Is that what's in your Bible? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have a $12,000 dog. And a private jet. And 20 houses. Which part of the Bible do you have these? And we have pastors boldly changing the Bible around. Listen, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, in hell, will not perish for his sins and have eternal life. That is why Jesus came. It is a good and a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. It is our sin which is a problem. Your sin and my sin. Your sin and my sin. Your sin. You may look like an angel, but you are a sinner. I tell you. Some of these ladies, they look so perfect, I tell you, but they are also sinners. Yes. Look at the ladies, so beautiful. So nice. But I tell you, there is sin in them. If there was no sin in them, they would live forever. There's sin in all of us. All of us are sinners. Amen. We deserve to die. And God sent his son to pay the price for your sin. Because otherwise God should not forgive you. Why should you be forgiven? Why should you be forgiven? Huh? Why should you be set free? Why should you be set free? You killed somebody. Why should you go free? You killed somebody. You ended somebody's life. Why should you go free? You did bad things. Why should you go free? There must be a reason. I said there must be a reason why you should be set free. What's the reason? The reason why is that Jesus Christ came to pay the price. He came to buy me. I have been bought. Listen, I've been paid for. Jesus paid for me to be set free from my sins. My sins were so many, and Jesus came. And you know, when the devil wanted to resist, Jesus paid for my life with his blood. The Bible says we are redeemed. Redeem is an old English word. It means to buy, to purchase. It's an old word. Jesus Christ when he went shopping in the shopping mall to buy human beings, he paid with his blood. He paid. He said, here is my blood. He paid with life, his life, because the life is in the blood. So today, you must always call for the mercy of God, and you must be washed. You can't just sit in church, come around and think that you don't need the mercy of God. No. Your sin is the main thing. The Bible says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior, for he shall save the people from their sins. Our sins is our problem, I tell you. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. Sin is bringing sickness. Sin is bringing death. Sin is bringing all the demons and all the problems. The demons are just waiting for us to sin. As soon as you sin, say, let's go there. They are coming to take you out. But today, the blood of Jesus. I said today, the blood of Jesus is here. Pay the price for you to be saved. Amen. Now, wonderful things that you can learn from these 10 lepers as we come towards the end of our Sunday services. Jesus can heal cancer because he could heal leprosy. And he's healing cancer today. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I love, there was a policeman who used to follow Catherine Kuhlman everywhere she went. This policeman had cancer of the prostate and was given like 2 weeks to live. And the power of God came on him. He was carried in a stretcher to the crusade. And as he was sitting at the back there, he got healed. He just felt a little, okay, just stand up. Just something. You see, in the service, you can't test the prostate. You can't do the x-rays in church. So you have to trust the little symptoms. That's why I say, thank God for your pastors who believe in miracles. Most pastors don't believe in miracles. They don't even want miracles. If you come and go to pray for the sick, they say, well, do it. We are watching. They sit back and like they are spectators, hoping there will be no miracles. But thank God your pastors want miracles. And they are praying for you to have miracles. In the last church I went to, the East Campus, the pastor was bringing more people for me to pray. I closed and I was going. He kept bringing more and more and more and more and more people. Until I prayed for almost everybody. Hey! That's a good pastor. A good pastor cares for the people. Wants the people to be healed. He knows that people need miracles. People need the grace of God and the power of God. Amen. Are you still around? Are you still here? Yeah. You should be here. Because I'm preaching to you. I don't know where you've gone. Amen. So the 10 lepers received their miracle by crying for mercy. And Jesus showed them mercy. Amen. So this shows the great love of God. Amen. And then they received the miracle as they obeyed. Because Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. You know, God doesn't need to impress anybody. I learned that from T.L. Osborne. You know, he told me, just pray for the people. You know, just pray for the people. More miracles happen out off the stage than on the stage. I don't mind praying for people, because I know that God's power touches some people. Some people will be healed. And many are healed, you never hear of them. And Jesus doesn't bother to do miracle to impress you. That is why many of his great miracles were done in private. The greatest miracles were done privately, not in public. Walking on the water. Nobody saw him walking on the water. When he was raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, he asked everybody to go out. Many of the great miracles that he did, few people actually saw what he was doing. Healing some of the people, it was private, it was just a few people. And he often told me, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. These are wicked human beings, I don't need to impress them. You must grow and not know that you don't need to impress anybody. What we need to do is to impress the Lord. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Amen. And so, these people were blessed when they went to show themselves to the priest. Now, when they were healed, they were so happy. They said, wow, we are healed. But only one of them came back to say to Jesus, thank you, and to testify. The rest of them, Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Today I want to ask you, God has done so many things for us here in COP after all these years. How many people come back to the Lord to say thank you? You know, God is sometimes restrained in blessing us, because if He blesses you, that's the end. We will not even see you in church again anymore. True. We wouldn't see you. If you become a millionaire, that's it. I mean, bye-bye. You just move to another part of town and we never see you again. Don't you have that here? Yeah. 10 people were healed. Only one came to say back. Say thank you. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And as usual, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And they are not found that return to give glory to God, except this stranger. When God does something for you, what are you going to do in return? I love Hannah. You know, Hannah is the woman who was barren. She prayed for a child. And one day, God blessed her, and she had a child. When she had the child, she had the baby. She came back to church. Listen to what she said. She said to Eli, she said, oh my Lord, oh my pastor, as thy soul liveth, my pastor, my Lord, I am the woman that stood here by thee, praying unto the Lord. I was the one who came here to pray. For this child, I prayed. This is what I prayed for this child. And the Lord has given me my petitions, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. How many people are like Hannah? When God does something wonderful for you, you come and stand and say, pastor, I was the woman. That's what the Bible says. I was the woman who stood here to pray. And the Lord answered my prayer. I'm the one who was here. I prayed for financial miracle. I prayed to be blessed. I prayed to be healed. I was the one you prayed for. I was the one who came forward. Most people will not remember, but this woman came back with the child and said, I am the one who prayed here. I prayed here. That's why today you find people, where are the millionaires? Where are the singers who used to sing for the Lord? All of them, all the famous singers, you know, Michael Jackson's and Lionel Richie's and all those people, they were all church singers. What's the name of the lady who died? Whitney Houston. They were all church singers. All these people started in the church. When they became a little blessed, they threw away the church and became secular singers. Oh yes. Instead of coming back like Hannah and saying, I was the one who was singing in the church and I prayed for this and I prayed for this. No. You see them, they forget about God. You young people, I want to tell you, it's time for you to come to church, and all of us, it's time for us to come to church and stop saying, what can the Lord do for me today? Lord, give me, my name is Jimmy. Every day, give me something. It's time for you to stop saying, what can the Lord give me today? And start to say, what can I do for the Lord? How can I say thanks? I like that song, Andre Crouch. What can I do to say thank you to the Lord? Huh? You see the people, they pray for money. They pray for this, they pray for that. Look at us here, COP. We were not used to have a prosperous church like this before. Now you are blessed. You are sitting on blue seats with beautiful ushers, with nice gray suits. Powerful pastors all over the place. Huh? Things are good for you. And you know, the church has people who were nothing before. And God has lifted you up. I don't know you, but I know it must be. Because I've also been a pastor for a long time. In the same group. And when they have money. You see. When you ask them for money. You find that when you are a pastor, rich people don't give money. All the things I'm saying, I'll ask pastor after whether it happens here. But what I know, when they are rich, they don't give. It's the ordinary people who give. Small, 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 small. Everybody gives. You see them at the prayer meeting before. Pray. Oh God. When that lady gets married, she said, well, my family and I are going for holiday. We can't come. You know, we are going here. We are going to Singapore. We are going to Australia. We'll see you later. We can't. Yeah, now you can't. But before you were praying. And now God has blessed you. You can't remember God. You can't have the spirit of Hannah. Hannah came back and said, I was the lady. I was the lady who prayed here. I prayed that you heal me. I was the one. And I have come back. This is how I'm going to say thank you to God. I'm bringing the child back. This is how I'll say thank you to God for what he has done for me. One day a pastor in South Africa, you know, he called me. He told me, one of my members is coming. He said he's either the richest man in Africa or the second richest man. He's coming to Ghana. I said, oh, really? Then he said, no, I know what you are thinking. What do you think I'm thinking? He said, I know you are thinking this man will not come to church because he's so rich. He said, no, but he's different. He said, this man, if it is Sunday, he will be found in church. Oh, yeah. He said he's a multi-millionaire, but when it is time for church and God, there is no games at all. Some of you have not been to church for 1 month, 3 months. Some of you see, it's only sickness that will bring you back to God. Sickness will bring you back to God. Sickness is not a guide. Sickness is a problem. Sickness must not be your leader and your guide. The Holy Spirit should guide you and lead you. Today you want to ask yourself, I want to be like the one leper who came back to say thank you. Look at us young men, those of us who are young, wave your hand, the young people in the church. Hey, what are you doing with your lives? It's time for you to serve the Lord and join the army of the Lord. Instead of sitting in the church and just warming the pew. It's time for you to rise up and do something. Amen. Do something for the Lord. I mean, you cannot be a young person and just sit in the church as I'm here to receive. Receive what? Receive every day receiving. Receiving, receiving, receiving. When you eat, eat, eat and nothing comes out, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. Yeah. You cannot just eat, 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 eat. Nothing is coming out. No, 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 no. You are going to have a major problem. Yes. You can't just eat and not do something. That is why when you just eat, you don't have exercise, you grow fat, you start to have hypertension, diabetes, atherosclerosis, heart conditions, heart failure. So many conditions come by people who do not have the commensurate activity that corresponds with what you are taking in. Look at a good pastor like Pastor David Samra. Look, I tell you, I know pastors. I've seen him as one of the best pastors. I'm not saying it because he's here. For years, I'm not saying because he's here. I can give you the evidence of that. But you can have a good pastor feeding you and you do nothing. You rather develop diseases. from the good preaching. True. Because every day you have eggs, bacon, chicken jolly pop. What do you call it? Jolly chicken. Chicken jolly. Jolly chicken. Jolly pop. Hey. You can, it's dangerous to have such good food only eating. Very dangerous. Do you know even breast cancer is now associated with weight? 60% of breast cancers can be cut off by just reducing weight. Colon cancer, prostate cancer, all are now connected to your weight. So if pastor is feeding you good word, good messages, proverbs every Sunday, powerful teachings, different campuses, he travels round from here to here, here to here, here to here, talking. And you just sit in the church doing nothing. You're going to get sick. It's time for you to rise up and do something. I said it's time for you to rise up and do something. It's time for you to work for the Lord. I said it's time for you to work for the Lord. Yes. We want to see more pastors coming out of the Philippines as missionaries. 200 million people here. We need pastors to go out and do the work of the Lord. To start churches. To build churches. To live with the people. To win souls. To do many things. Look at this city. It takes you 3 hours to drive from one end to the other. Do you think we need only three campuses? We need more than 15 campuses in this city. I said we need more than 15 campuses in this city alone. I'm not talking of outside Manila. I'm saying just here. Right here. Some of you have been listening to the word. Receiving the word. Why are you receiving the word? What are you doing with it? It's making you develop all kinds of conditions in your heart. I met one pastor. He said to me, I'm not going to church this Sunday. I said, why? He said, because I know all my pastor's sermons. He said, today he'll be preaching about Elijah. Next week will be Moses. I know all his notes. Hey. You are now developing familiarity, pride, disloyalty, unfaithfulness. All kinds of things are entering you because you do nothing. Even to come and feed the hungry. We have more food sitting here on the left and nobody to cook the food for the people. Have you heard of such a thing? The problem would have been we have people, but we don't have enough food or enough money, do you understand, to get the food to give to the people. But we have it the other way around. Because many of us are so happy doing exactly nothing. You just sit in the church and say, I'm blessed. Bless me, Pastor. Bless me. Pastor, I want to receive something nice. Pastor, speak a blessing to the upstairs. We are receiving it. This all you do. Receive. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Now, turn around and put your hand on the seat. Like this. Feel it. What does it feel? That's the only thing you are doing in the church. Sit down. That's the only work you do in this church. This is your great accomplishment in the church. Is to make this thing warm. How can that be? This is what you have accomplished in the house of God. After all that God has done for you, this is all you do to warm this space once a week. Yes. And you come for one service. It's like, I don't have much time. So Lord, you better sort yourself out. And if you have anything to do or to say, you better finish with it. I can spare you from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Because, Lord, I'm a busy young man. Wow. That's why people are going to hell. Because you would have been a preacher. You would have shared the word of God. But you don't want to do anything. You just want to be there and receive and be blessed and have money and have a car, have a new job and go to Singapore. But no, it's changing. And that's why, you know, we are praying. Well, most of us are praying. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send him. Send him there. No, send him, Lord. Here I am. Send them. Send that one. That one. Send that one. Don't send me. Here I am. Send him. It's time to say, here I am. Send me. Send me. Use me. I want you to use me. I want to do something for God. Use me. Me. Not him. Not them. That's all. Yeah, they don't have jobs. Use them. They don't have money. Use them. They don't have cars. Use them. No. Remember when you didn't have a car. Remember when you didn't have anywhere to stay. Remember when you had nothing and you prayed like Hannah. You came to church and you prayed. Why don't you come back to the altar and say, Lord, I was the girl who prayed here. That's why I still preach the gospel. Because when I had nothing, I would evangelize. I would get up at 5 a.m. I would clap my hands. I would wake people up and preach to them in their houses, in their hostels at 5 a.m. in the morning. I would go to students, to schools and preach the gospel to the people. And I say, today, if I have a car and I can sit on a plane and I can travel, I will still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I am. I'm not going to say I'm not doing that anymore. No, you cannot graduate out of God. 10 lepers, one came back to say, thank you. Thank you. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks? The voices of a million angels could never express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things that he has done in your life, in my life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship. You are what God has done in the Philippines. This is the work of God here. I'm standing in the fruits of David Samrah. I'm standing in the fruits of people who have labored here. These are their fruits. What about your fruits? What about you? What about you? You see, a pastor's work, a minister's work, is not only to do the work, but it's also to train you for the work. That's why we are given for the perfecting of the saints, number one, for the work of the ministry. Because you must also work for God. You must also do something. How many are ready to come back to God and say, Lord, how can I say thanks? How can I say thank you? And you know, somebody asked me, why am I a preacher? You know, you are a doctor. You could have this, you could do that. Oh man, it's my greatest privilege to serve the Lord. Ah! You know, in my country, people who are like my color, they don't get saved. The people that are like me, they're all drug addicts, drunkards, they don't go to church, just following women, doing all kinds of things. And look at me. You know, before I was known in my country, when I would go to a Christian program, they would start interceding for me. Because they would see I'm a sinner. I mean, that this is a bad person has come here. I look at myself. God picked me out. He picked me out of my family, picked me out of my group, and saved me, washed me, changed me. Oh, how can I say thanks? I would have gone straight to hell. Look at us. What would be of us? What would happen to us if Jesus hadn't died for us? What are we doing with this great love that has been shown to us? Every day we just can say, Lord, give me more. What else can he do that is greater than the salvation that he has shown to us? This is the greatest gift God can ever give to you. How can we say thanks? It's time for us to be like the one leper and say, I'm going to find this Lord. And I don't know how to say thanks, but I'm going to find a way of saying thank you. And I don't know how to say thank you. That's why I'm trying to serve him. I'm trying to say thank you with my life. He gave his life for me. I want to give my life for him. I don't want to give him just Tuesday evening or Sunday morning. I want to give my whole life to him because he gave his whole life Jesus would have been 34 years, 35 years, 38 years. He would have been 50. He gave it all. He gave up himself to save me and you. What are you doing with that? It's time for us to humble ourselves and lift our hands and say, Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one you are calling. I'm the one you are speaking to. I'm the one you loved and you showed kindness. And I want to say thank you back to you, Lord. I want to love you with my life. How can I say thank you? God bless you, those of you who love God and are giving yourselves to Him. It's a blessing. Yes, because seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All other things will be added. People will be chasing them. They will never find them. But it will be added to you as you serve Him and as you follow Him. I have chosen to serve the Lord. And I'm glad that I'm His servant. It is my honor. Pastor Dave, some are always like, what do you need? I say, it is an honor for me to be here. It's an honor. It's enough. It's an honor for me to preach. Every time I preach, I say, thank you for the opportunity. I would have been dead long time ago. But here I am preaching. Doing something for Him. The one who died for me. It's enough. It's enough. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else. That's how I can say thank you. What about you? What about you, young man? You give yourself to basketball. But you don't give yourself to the gospel. You give yourself to television. But you don't give yourself to the gospel. You give yourself to watching everything except watching the word of God. You give your time, your precious, your youthfulness, your strength. You are giving it to the devil. When God wants you, when you are young and you are strong and you are well, this is the time to serve Him. Don't say, I'll serve Him when I'm old. You serve Him now. You serve Him now. When He calls you, you serve Him as a young person. You say, here I am. I want you, Lord. I will serve you from my youth upwards. I belong to you. Yes, that is the call of God. And today I believe God is calling many of us here. He's calling you. He's calling you to serve Him, to follow Him, to be His servant, you know, to speak for Him, to do the work of God. Yeah. Not just to give out food. That is the lowest part. I'm talking about speaking for Him. People are saved by preaching, not by giving out food. Giving out food shows love. But preaching the cross is what saves them. Showing love is important. After showing love, we must preach. That's why we are going to build a church at that place. Today, God is calling many of us. He's saying, Philippines will be saved when you volunteer and you say, I will work for you. Other religions, you see the young men fighting for what they believe. What about us? We are just sitting there and saying, we are into prosperity. We are into establishment. We are going to Singapore and Australia. Yeah. But it's time to say, here I am. Send me. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Listen. No one should move. Please don't go to the toilet. Don't do anything. I want to pray with you. Just in a moment. Listen. There are people here. God has called you to work for Him. You are young men. Young ladies. You know it. You know, I'm preaching. It's because of you I'm preaching. I'm talking to you. God has called you. Listen, if you are here, God has called you. I mean to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to serve Him, to work for Him. Come to the front. I'm doing this before I invite anybody for salvation. You are here, you know, God has called me to serve Him, to work for Him, to do His will. Lift your hand and come. Come to me in the front. I want to just pray with you. You feel that God has called you. Come. Come from wherever you are. I want to work for the Lord. I want to work for God. Just come to the front. Come. Come all. I want to pray with you in the front here. You feel that God has called you to work for Him. We are no more happy to just sit down and watch. But you want to work for the Lord. Come. Come here. Come to this side. Come. Quickly. Don't be shy. Don't think. Don't look and ask your neighbor, let's go. It's not about let's go. It's you going. It's not a group thing. I'm talking about working. Please. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about fighting for the Lord. I'm talking about volunteering. It's like, this is like a call to a spiritual army. Come. You are especially young men. God has called you. God has called you. Volunteer yourself. Lift your hand and come. Let me just pray with you. Young men, young ladies, God has called you. Come. Come. Let them. Why are you stopping them? Hello? Please. What's happening here? Healing. No, not healing. Okay. Not healing. Today I'm doing 3 different altar calls. This is for, I want to work for the Lord. God called me. Come. I want to pray with you, please. Very important. You want to work for Jesus. You are tired of doing nothing. Tired of sitting and watching a good pastor minister all his life without you getting involved. Then come to the front. Volunteer your life for Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be like Jesus. How many want to be a vessel Jesus works through? God is calling you today. If God is calling you and you sense that you need to be in the house, in the army of the Lord, I need you to come to the front. I'm giving you the last call. I'm going to pray for everybody here. If you believe God is calling you, you need to come right now. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a vessel you work through. Come on, lift your hand and sing it. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be like Jesus. I wanna be like Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Come on, let them come, let them come. I wanna work for the Lord. Lift your hands in front here. And everybody also lift your hands. Because I believe there are many, many people standing in the congregation who should be in the front here, but you didn't come. But I'm going to pray for you anyway. Father, this is our chance to say thank you. You loved us. You were kind to us. You saved us. You forgave us. You brought us to your house. How can we say thank you? How can we say thanks, Lord, for all that you've done and been so kind to us? Lord, your salvation is wonderful. Lord, we lift our hands to you in the house of the Lord today. Use us, Lord. If you can use anything, use us, Lord. If you can use somebody like me, somebody like those of us standing here, Lord, please take us. Take our lives. Take our moments. Take our days, Jesus. Lord, we don't know much, but here we stand lifting our hands to surrender ourselves to you for your will. Lord, use us. Speak through us. Use our hands. Use our legs. Send us, Lord. Send us to the nations. Send us to the people. Send us to the dark corners of this world. Send us to the places where people are hoping, people are waiting. People are crying and wishing and hoping and wondering if somebody will come. Lord, we lift our hands to you. Lord, we are saying sorry. We didn't come back to say thank you with our lives. We didn't come back like the one leper who came back and said thank you. We didn't come back like Hannah who said, I was the one who stood there praying that you would bless me. And now that you blessed us, what are we doing with your blessing? Father, have mercy on us. We lift our hand and we say, we surrender. We say, Lord, here we are. Send us. Here am I. Send me. Use me. Touch me. Use my mouth. Use my lips. Use my language. Use my accent. Use what I am. Use me, Lord. Send me to the ends of the earth to do your will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's not by works of righteousness, but it's by your mercy and your grace alone. I pray for every young man. I pray for every young lady. I pray for those standing in front here, those who are lifting up their hands. Let them be counted among the number that serve you and live for you and work for you. Find a way, Lord. Open the door. Help them to work in the church and maneuver and keep moving on until they are bearing fruit in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for touching these ones. I know one day they will say, I was the one standing in the front. I was the girl standing in the front. I was the boy standing in the front. I was the one who lifted my hands. I was the one who said, I want to be a vessel. You work through. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thanks for your great calling. I pray for them, Lord. Don't let them fall away, Lord. Don't let them become barren trees. Don't let them become deserts. Don't let them become dry trees, Lord, without fruits, Lord. Bless them and anoint them. Use them and send them. Take them up, Lord, each and every one of them. Use them to bear fruit, to do your will, to start churches, to build your work, to do things, to serve you. I pray. Thank you, Father, for your great power that is released in the lives of this one. Lift your hand, everyone, and say thank you to the Lord. God is going to use not only those in front. Many of us stand in the congregation. God is going to start using you. God is going to start using you. Barrenness is broken in this church in Jesus' name. You are coming out of darkness, coming out of barrenness, coming out of emptiness. God is sending you to the nations. God is going to use you to do great things. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Now, I want to say to you, this is your church. That's your pastor. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's the right thing. Be in the church. Bear fruits. And be obedient. And rise. Work. And bear fruits. And God is going to use you greatly. We as pastors, we have one problem. We don't have people who are volunteering themselves to work. It's the same people who are doing everything. We want more people to work. How many are ready to work? How many are ready to do something right in COP, right here in the midst of the house of the Lord? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may go back to your seats. Wow. How many are glad that there are more laborers in the house of the Lord?